Nando's, the home of Peri Peri Chicken.
A very special guest is literally walking towards our studio,
yes,
guys.
We get only the big names in Australian politics, and we've gone straight to the top. We have the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, entering the studio. Hi, Scott. Lovely to see you.
Hi, Phoebe. How are you?
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? To be honest, horrible. I'm suffering this terrible pregnancy nausea at the moment.
Oh, dear.
So I know. So don't mind me. I've got baby brain. My political sensibilities are off. But lucky, I've got Brendan Favola here to take care of all the politics.
The big brain.
Yes. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good. It's great to be here in Melbourne.
Yeah, we should have said it's great to be on the number one radio show in Australia, which we are.
Well, congratulations.
Yes. FM. You.
FM, that is. FM, that is.
It's important to clarify.
Scott, you are. Who do you think would pull you up on that?
Yeah, well, I think I definitely know.
We've got a lot in common.
Alan Jones would definitely. He'd have a crack at us for saying that.
Ross and John would
Ross
be annoyed.
Ross and John would not be happy at 3AW. Yeah.
You're the ones that told me to say that.
Yeah, no.
Now, we're very similar.
Just you and I now, mate.
We're very similar. I usually get around with this much security because everyone wants to get a photo.
There are quite a few gentlemen behind our Prime Minister, as they would be.
But mate, you could get a gig with that as well, I reckon, with your size of a unit.
Yeah. Don't worry about me, mate.
You could do security for the Prime Minister, Fair.
Mate, you could do security for me. especially when you're in Melbourne.
I take that as a compliment, that you reckon I'd be up to that.
Yes, because you are from Sydney, and Melbourne, we just need to crack into a little bit. So sure. I was thinking maybe we'd go down Bourke Street, grab a bit of lunch, and I can introduce you to the Melburnians, because they'll all come up, and I'll say, this is ScoMo, he's our Prime Minister.
We should see if we can sort that out over the next few months. That'd be fun.
Are you suggesting that you could possibly be Mr. Morrison's running partner?
Well, why not?
I mean,
he'd get some bloody votes.
Well, what about even actually physically? Like you could, I don't know if you're interested in the athleticism, but you could take him for a run around Princess Park,
I can't run.
No, I'm a swimmer, not a runner.
I might jump on the train or the tram and go around, but you are here to sign off. For not, what is it, 2031?
This is the Melbourne
light.
Airport Rail Link, which we committed to in my last budget, and it's a $10 billion project, which we're both doing together with the state government, and Dan Andrews and I will be announcing we've signed the heads of agreement on that today.
That's a long way away.
Well, it's one of the biggest rail projects that we've ever done in Victoria. I mean, you can't go to McDonald's and just order it and it turns up right there. I mean, it's a huge infrastructure project and there's a lot of work to be done. The state government will largely be leading that process. But $5 billion each, this is a project that is going to change Melbourne for the better. It's going to completely reshape the city.
Traffic's horrendous.
Yeah, and this is going to take, it's going to take cars off the Tullamarine Freeway. It's going to ensure that you've got a great access between the city and the suburbs to the airport. This is one of the biggest projects, if not the biggest project for rail we've seen in Melbourne in generations. So, I mean, and big projects take time. You've got to get them right. There's a lot of work to do with communities as well. So, you don't rush to failure. You get it right. And I really want to thank, we're working really well with Dan on this project, as we are on many urban congestion busting projects around the city.
Putting our hands up, we're fighting for a question here.
Sure.
Scott, what about, I know that's a very big project and we are excited about that taking off. There's another project we've been trying to work on our show, particularly as the parents of young school-aged children.
Oh, here we go. Mm.
Oh.
School pickup's a bit of a problem. Mm. So when we are lots of frustrated parents in Melbourne, 3 to 3.30 is an absolute nightmare and you can be in traffic for an hour. Is there a way we could affect or influence school pickup? Like, could this be a proposal?
Sounds like a local council, mate.
Well, I know, but I've got the Prime Minister handy.
You mean the time?
Yeah, so it's just a nightmare.
Well, I'll tell you, my kids, our kids go to school. They have a different...
Do they get a chopper?
No, they don't get anything. Jenny drives them to school each day. But our school up in Sydney goes from 8.30 to 2.30, so they have a different time for pickup than other schools in the area.
That's
just what our school does.
Yeah. Can we make that legislation?
Well, we didn't need legislation to do
it. Everyone can't do it because then there'd be traffic for everyone.
Every school in the country have different pickup times.
Well, that's schools can do that.
That's genius.
That's up to schools.
That's up to them.
They can do that, and it works really well for our school, but not a lot of other schools in Sydney do that, but that's just an independent school. It's one of those independent Christian schools, and it's a great school where my kids go.
You make stuff happen, Mr. Morrison.
Well, I'm
impressed.
There's also how you deal with congestion busting around the city, and Melbourne is growing under population growth, and that population growth, particularly in Melbourne, has been incredibly strong over the last decade. I mean, in Sydney, we've been dealing with that for decades and decades. But in Melbourne, it really has put a strain on people's, you know, quality of life here in Melbourne. Mm. And that's why we're investing. We've got $200 million I've already announced for a whole range of projects, key intersections, right-hand lanes, turning and so on. And the other one we've done is we've got over $60 million on park and ride car parks we've already announced across Melbourne. So all of these things help you cope with population pressures.
Mate,
it's a big part of what we're doing going into this next election. And we're doing it in partnership with the Victorian government. I think people, wherever you are, they don't care what side of politics they're from. They just want state and federal governments to work together to get stuff done. And so that's why it'll be great to be standing up with Dan Andrews today.
If you've got any money, buy a car park, invest. Oh, they make a fortune. this day and age, our society want things to happen now. Like now. Like everyone's just like, do it, do it, do it. Does that frustrate you?
Well, you've got to get things right.
Exactly.
And I've seen people rush to failure on too many occasions and they go, oh, how did that happen? Well, some knucklehead just decided to try and do it too fast. And so when you're in government, you've got to make responsible decisions, plan it out properly and get it right. And that requires a bit of discipline and patience. It's, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we want to win the flag yesterday. Josh Frydenberg says that Carlton's, you know, 10 years into its 5-year redevelopment plan.
Carlton sacked me and they've been shit ever since. Sorry about that.
Well, you guys are up first. You're on Thursday next week against Richmond,
yeah,
aren't you?
Tigers.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a good game.
There we go. He's a local now.
So is Carlton going to have their big year? Is this the turnaround year for the Blues?
Mate. That'll finish when you've given the green light to the rail, to the airport. That's when Carlton will be good again.
Oh, Prime Minister, we appreciate his time. Of course,
the Sharky's going to win.
Mate, I reckon we're a good show this year. We've got some great new players coming in. We've got some great new young players.
Bit of rugby
too,
league chat here, Fraser.
Number one ticket holder.
Yeah. I love my sport, whatever it is. I don't pretend that, you know, I'm a big AFL aficionado, but I love getting to the games. I know it's a big passion. Man, you can explain it all to me. I know it's the lifeblood passion of everyone in Victoria and around the country, including my own home state. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting a few of those games, particularly early.
And speaking of sport, I love a little known fact about you, Scott. Mm. You are also a netball dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I have been. And the girls have enjoyed playing netball up until now. So they haven't made their decision about this season yet. My youngest has become quite a good swimmer. And she just was in.
Oh, that's annoying. That's an early start.
Yeah, she was just in.
Poor Jen.
She was just in the state relay the other day, so she's doing really well. Cool. And my, you know, as your kids grow up, their interests change. But I've always enjoyed going to the netball. I put my cap on, sit there quietly on the bench amongst the other parents.
Are you a parent that sits with other parents? Because parents can be very vocal at a school sport. And especially when it gets a little bit physical. Obviously, netball's not, but I always sit by myself because my daughter plays football
under
12s, and I always sit at the other side of the ground by myself because if I do say something, I don't want people to hear. Do you do that?
No, I usually sit with the other netball dads, actually, if there's a few other dads who are there.
What are you talking about? It's good to be social when you're Prime Minister.
Do you have Barnaby Joyce? Do you talk about Barnaby?
No, we talk about, well, it's down at the Shire, so we talk about the Sharks. That's what we talk about when the netball dads get together in the Sutherland Shire.
Barnaby Joyce, he's had a bit to say the last couple of days. He's come out and said that if you get the flick, he's going to slide in.
He's in a different party.
Yeah, but what's he thinking?
No,
just
look,
go away, Barnaby.
Barnaby's a passionate guy, and this morning he was out on morning television, and he sort of admitted that he sort of got a bit worked up earlier in the week, and he settled that down
today.
That
when he was in Parliament.
And I appreciate that. But look, politics is about passion. If you're not passionate about what you do, it doesn't matter whether you're playing footy or you're running a morning program to be the number one in the country it is.
Thank
if you're not passionate about it, then give it away. And I'm passionate about it. Barnaby's passionate about it.
Votes go, mate.
Big.
He's won me over.
There we go. Fab, how easy
Melbourne
is
loves him.
Have a great day today. That is Scott Morrison. A busy day. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. 101.9 The Fox. The Fox.
Now, this is a scary story. A woman in Arizona, fortunately, she's okay. She's just been released from hospital overnight with some minor injuries. But she was in a wildlife park in Phoenix. And she wanted to get a selfie with a jaguar.
Oh, yeah. Just go to the showroom?
She's climbed over Oh, nice. Well done.
Thank you very much. Very good.
You could have said Mercedes, though. That would be better.
100%.
Well, I wouldn't have gone with the joke.
Well, I know.
It's a jaguar.
I know, but as far as endorsements go, it would have been better.
Well,
Now, she's jumped over the barrier to get closer to the Jaguar so that her selfie was
whatever,
awesome.
I don't know what this story is, but whatever happened to her, it's her own fault.
Well, exactly. Well, she's lucky. She's been released. She's fine. They're minor injuries, but the cat's gone her. And that's the length. See, the lengths people will go to for selfies. I've got a stat for you, and I know you love stats. You've given out some good ones this
100%.
Morning.
100%. People have fallen off cliffs or died. Like, it's just
I'll give you
stupid.
How many people. In 2018... Oh, actually, no. That okay. So the study was released last year, but between 2011 and 17, so over a 5-year period, there have been 259 documented deaths associated with selfies.
What?
259 people in 5-year period have died attempting to get a selfie.
Wow.
Now that is falling animal attacks, falling particularly off walls. Drowning and car accidents. So that was, I guess they're standing on a road or somewhere where they shouldn't be and they've been hit by a car. That's stunning, isn't it? The lengths people go to.
People are up in arms for people planking on the side of roofs and stuff like that. Only a couple of people died. Selfies. Ban them.
Worse than planking.
Ban them.
Did people die planking?
Yeah, a couple.
Where were they planking?
High rises.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. That's just silly.
Like Humpty Dumpty fell off the high rise pretty much.
Selfie injuries, though. We'd love to just test the temperature of Melbourne and see. Look, we've got 259 deaths that have occurred worldwide. How stupid have people been in Melbourne?
Right.
Have you, you know, put your hand up if you've been.
Why don't we do a stupid selfie somewhere? I'll do it.
Okay. Well, a dangerous one.
No, not a dangerous. Yeah. No, come on. Let's not be dangerous.
Where can we put him?
Live and dangerous.
On the rooftop? Yeah, the world famous rooftop.
Stand on the edge.
Yeah.
No, because Byron, he'll do
that. Oh, sorry,
that.
No, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay.
No, just 131060, you can have selfie injuries. You can fall over. You can hit yourself. I mean, our publicist, Kelly, she won't mind us saying this. She's walking around. She's had stitches in her head.
Oh, is that what it is?
And,
I thought she just had a big pimple.
Well, no. I mean, look, she ran into something while she was using her phone. But
similar.
She could have been taking a selfie.
Easily.
And just hit run into a street lamp.
Isn't there a law now you can't use your phone when you cross the road or something?
I think that's always been a law.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
I'm very certain that you should not be looking at your phone while you cross the road.
Well, take minor injuries, Fief, because it's a fairly narrow. Should we take, even if you've hurt yourself slightly taking a selfie?
Any injury. We'll take a paper cut while you were taking a selfie.
13.
How does that happen?
Okay. You're taking a selfie.
Yeah.
And somebody walks past with a piece of paper and it cuts you.
Right. Hurt yourself taking a selfie.
We are set. Like, don't be mistaken. We are setting the bar very low.
13, 10,
we got one.
60. We only need one caller. 13.
No, it's not.
It should be.
I'm just saying, you know what? How's this? 13, 10, 60. Do you want to call our show?
101.9.
The Fox.
Now, we were talking about injuries that have occurred when you're taking a selfie. A woman's just been released from hospital over in Arizona because she thought she'd like an up-close and personal selfie with a jaguar in a wildlife park. So she climbed the barrier and went in and the jaguar attacked her. She's lucky. And then I researched. I heavily researched this stat. 259 deaths have been associated with taking selfies over a 5-year period.
That's amazing.
One of these, Fev, how bad is this one? 5 passengers on a helicopter died because one of the passengers was trying to take a shoe selfie. So he's popped his shoes sort of on the edge of the...
And fell out.
Yeah, because they were all attached to a harness. So he's fallen.
And they all went
taken
together.
4 others with him.
Oh.
Wow.
That's a tragic. How did that not make the news?
Well, sure. Yeah, when
That's
was that?
Tragic. That was in 2019, last year.
Should have been massive news.
That should have been. Anyway, we have said 13, 10, 60.
You go, I go.
What? It's a bit like this show. What injuries have you eaten?
We're going to die.
I don't know.
Okay. Leave. Another radio station.
Christina in Kings Park. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Phoebe. Hi, Bev. Hi, Byron. You guys are amazing.
Oh, hello.
Thank you.
Christina. Now, Christina, have you suffered an injury taking a selfie?
I have. I chipped my tooth taking a selfie.
Oh.
How'd you do that?
Oh, I was on my bed taking a selfie and, you know, fell on my face.
There we go. That can happen.
Have you got the video of that?
Do you know what I love about that too, Christina? Your selfie was while you were lying down, which does beg the question, what kind of selfie were you taking? Very good.
No comment.
We
good on
her. We won't keep digging. Oh. Tamara from Berwick. Hey, Tamara.
Good morning, guys. Hi.
Good, Tamara. What happened?
I was at the gym on Snapchat and I was walking up to the
squat rack and I walked straight into the barbell nose first.
Ooh.
So
that would be a great.
Just picture that.
I wish I was watching that.
Thank you, Tamara.
I love seeing people do things like even walking down the street and they're like looking at their phone and they walk into like a pole or gets me up and about.
Very easy to do.
Oh, mate.
Alison in Pakenham. Hey, Alison.
Hello.
What happened? Was this you or somebody else?
No, somebody else. And he went to take a photo with, like, the view behind him. And he didn't realise there was a cliff because it was all long grass. And he's taken a step backwards and fallen 20 metres down.
Okay? Wow.
And he broke, it was only a few weeks ago, and he broke his ankle, tore his Achilles, and he's got cuts and grazes all over him.
Might as well just said he broke his leg.
May as well. We essentially did break his leg. Yeah. Alison, that is, I mean, you're having a laugh. Is he laughing yet?
I think he's laughing now. But okay. Yeah,
watch the
cliff. Not at the time.
Watch a cliff.
Yeah, that's a good rule, I think, watching cliffs when they're behind you.
Yeah. What do you think?
You're thinking of something to say.
No, just when you're sitting around with the boys, where is that Pakenham? They're down at the Packy Pub. What happened, mate? Oh, I was taking a selfie. Broke my ankle. Would you be like, oh, I was playing footy or I was working and I just, you know, something really bad. I was taking a selfie and I fell off a cliff.
Daphne in Whittlesea. Hi, Daphne.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Daphne, did you know that's on my list? If I have a girl, I love the name Daphne.
Oh, thank you. It's an oldie, but a goodie.
Daphne's lovely.
Daphne box.
And I love the Daphne flower.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it smells lovely.
There is too. Yeah.
There is.
Daph, do you get Daff or Daffy?
I get Daffy. Daff. I get
Daffy, little
things.
Daffy.
You know, really they're the nice names I get.
Monique's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
You love Monique. Why don't you call Toby Monique?
Huh? Because I have to get a tattoo and it's too many letters.
Now, Daphne, what happened when you were taking a selfie?
Well, we were heading up to the King Lake footy to watch Fev and my son play.
Oh, look out.
And
a good game, was it?
You didn't play very well. You took my son's position and you didn't play well.
Hey, let's backtrack a little bit.
It's only one full forward, surely.
Worst game of footy that I've been involved in.
Yeah.
I kicked five goals five. The team kicked five goals six and we lost by 250 points. I'm pretty sure I did all right. No, it wasn't. I played the day before. I kicked the whole score. If I didn't play, they wouldn't have scored.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Daphne,
what about the selfie? What happened?
I was talking to a few people and I happened to meet Fev's auntie. And she was going up there to watch.
Not Lynn.
And so, I was so excited taking the photo and meeting Fev's auntie that I tripped over the back of her chair and broke my knee and my phone.
Jeez. Daphne, you broke your knee.
I did.
So you didn't get to watch the game?
No.
So there, do you remember when Daphne said I didn't play well? And then she didn't even watch it.
How do you not remember the poor lady being taken away in the ambulance?
Too busy kicking snags. 101.9 The Fox.
Hey, great news yesterday for the Melbourne hikers, Trevor and Jacinta, who were lost for 4 days.
I said they were gone.
Well, you and I had this chat off air yesterday when we knew that they were still looking for them.
So there's no way they'd still be alive.
Yeah, and I said, that's terrible. Four days.
That was horrific.
That's it. Anyway, they were found. So missing since Friday afternoon, found yesterday. It was wonderful to hear. I mean, they were both in such great spirits. Mm. Jacinta was sort of laughing through it, saying, yeah, look, we basically got lost. Mm. Then Trevor, he added a bit more. He gave a bit more context to how lost they were. And it did spark, I don't know, some questions in my mind.
We could hear speedboats on Lake Buffalo. And there were campers down below us. There were cows. There was a dog. And there were lights as well. So we knew we weren't far away from people and help, but we had about a 250-foot drop in front of us. So we took a few days just to have a look at it and work out if we could get down there and decided, we'll walk out.
But
So they weren't lost.
Well, yeah, it sounds to me like we were fine. We could see the farm down the hill.
Lights.
It sounds like they were camping, having a good old time.
They were having a great old time. They got a couple of tin lids and they said, we'll just sit up here and see how they've been little shits. Let's just see how much they really love us. We'll pretend we've been missing for 4 days. And we can still see light, so we'll just sit here. We'll have our little muesli bars, our choc chip and our black forest, and we'll sit there.
We knew we had some time to find our way out.
We chilled out. We had a bit of...
sat back and had some damper.
I reckon they had some me time.
Yeah. I mean, it is... Look,
under the lights of the farm.
You know what? Could have been a lot worse. Well done to all the SES workers who were involved in that rescue.
A lot of money went into that, I reckon.
The family that would have been fretting for days. But they were fine. They were watching people.
What about a phone? Could they make a phone? Just a quick phone call. Hey, guys.
Mate, they were happy. They could see the dogs and the cows. And the lights. And the speedboats.
Boats.
And then.
Just yell. It was 200, it was 200 feet.
Do you know? See.
It's not us. How much would that have cost?
Look, it would have been a fair bit.
I'm going to ask ScoMo when he comes in.
That's a good question.
He'd know.
I imagine that, if anything, if the SES end up saving lives regardless 100%. Of whether people's lives are in jeopardy, it's a wonderful thing. But there is an argument to say maybe they weren't as lost as we thought they were.
They weren't lost.
But, you know, being lost would be scary. It would be daunting, Fev. I have been lost in shopping centres, but I have never been lost in real life.
Lost in a shopping centre? What? At Nutter Wadding? Where were you?
No, not in our hood. I know.
In our hood.
No.
Oh, sorry, gangster.
No. I mean, Doncaster, Westfield, I'm fine. Chatty, I'm fine. Not that familiar with your Southland. Been there a couple of times. I'd probably get lost there.
Okay.
Northland, I reckon, is pretty easy to navigate.
Well, they just put out an announcement. Fiona Box, we have a lost child.
Anyway.
I used to do that with Mia. So I'd go to Southland when she was hanging out. She was probably year 8, year 9. When she started, you know, cool, and you're hanging out with kids, I'd go to the front desk and say, I've lost my daughter. Can you just yell out on the speaker, Mia Favola comes with a thing? And I'd just hide behind in the shop. And she'd be all, because she's really shy, and she'd be going there, and I'd go, hey! She'd go, oh, my God, that is so embarrassing.
That's
my
so
name
embarrassing.
100%. You've got to do these things.
Fountain Gate's a bit tricky.
Okay.
Fountain Gate's my hood.
I know, 13 10 60. We were wondering if there's anyone listening who has genuinely been lost.
I don't think I've ever been lost.
Now, this can be in a car. This can be in the bush. This could be travelling across the country. This could be hiking, bushwalking. We'll
I was
even
lost
accept...
in life for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you sure. were that rocky road you talked about. Yeah. It was
come back
road.
From that. But like actual lost.
No, you're physically lost.
Have you been? I mean, I don't think anyone woke up this morning thinking they'd be asked that question, but quite genuinely, have you been lost?
13,
this
10,
is where
60.
I would have come in and done some really good zingers about...
You're allowed to say... You're,
my
you're,
good friend Byron.
You're allowed to be mean friend, to me occasionally,
my
Brendan.
My good friend Byron.
What would you have said?
Hypothetically,
what would you have said?
No, I'm just lucky I found love with you.
13, 10, 60.
Wrecked our
is
the
can number. You tell us off air what the joke is?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. 101.9 The Fox.
Now, we were just celebrating the fact that the Melbourne hikers, Trevor Salvato and Jacinta Bowen, were found yesterday. 4 days they were lost in the bush. And since Friday afternoon, family terrified, scared for their safety, SES workers looking for them everywhere. And when we heard Trevor interviewed, you couldn't help but notice maybe they weren't as lost as we thought because...
they weren't lost. If I was at Uncle Toby's, I would get them because they said all they had was muesli bars for energy. Right. 4 days. Mate, what a campaign.
That is a great campaign.
I reckon they did it just for that.
And why we're just a bit dubious is, he said that they could see cows, dogs, all the lights from the farms below. They could see campers.
They could hear speedboats.
As Ben pointed out, just a bit of cooey might have helped. Like just we're up here.
They were 200 feet away from civilization.
But we have asked the question, have you been lost? And I was very surprised by the number. Our phone lines melted down. Now, Fev did tell a wonderful joke off air that he didn't think he was allowed to tell on. Right. Can I tell it on your behalf? This is not Fev picking on Byron. Now, this is me via Fev's.
Okay.
I never said it.
Fev didn't say it, but Fev did say that Greggy gets lost every morning because he finds himself on the number one breakfast show. And I thought it was a funny joke.
His name's Byron.
Interesting choice. Well, yeah. You're so mean, Faith.
Sorry.
He's going to get all these texts saying they bully him.
I'm sorry.
It's got to be nice
really
to him.
Funny joke. Kate.
Poor Zephyr's in town. He's like, why don't they pick on your dad?
Warren Dyke. Hey, Kate.
Sorry, blind butt.
What?
Warren Dyke.
Blind butt. It's a bit hard. No one knows where it is.
Oh, no. Oh. We had someone.
Are you lost?
Katie, are you okay?
Where are you?
We're a bit lost, really. How about you?
Where are you right now, Kate?
I'm on my way to work. I'm just heading through Pearsall.
Fabulous. Okay, so what happened when you were lost?
Well, me and my family thought we'd go for a nice walk. Now, I think it's Mount Dandenong or the Dandenong Ranges. I have trouble. We try not to remember that place. We thought we'd pack a nice picnic, but first we went for a walk. All was going well. Really nice.
I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand.
I can't understand.
The line's very bad.
Katie, you have to try ring back. But I used
to come back. Sorry,
Kate. I used to own a farm in Pearsall.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Since when did you own a farm?
I owned a farm in Pearsall.
You're a farmer. Are you a farmer?
We were going to build a big house, but then I lost all my money, so I had to sell it. But we had one there for a little bit.
You look at you, farmer, Fair.
Yeah, we were going to have a big ranch and a big thing down there. It was when I was flying.
Wow.
And I lost all my money. And
now, sorry about that, Kate. We couldn't hear you. It was such a bad line. Yeah. But I think Kate was lost in the Dandenong Ranges for 3 hours.
Right.
That would be a bit scary.
Fair enough. But a thousand steps.
When you got out, you got to go to the sweet shop.
Not a thousand steps?
And Miss Marple and go and get all the Devonshire tea.
Great place to get lost.
Great place. Now, is it Honey in Dramana?
Honey.
Honey. Hey, Honey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good, Honey. Have you been lost?
Yeah, so we decided to do a big America trip last year, and my husband and two kids, and we got off the plane in Dallas, Texas, and they give you this tiny little map that was useless. I said, where do I go to get a SIM card so I can get Google Maps? They directed me down there, got it, got the SIM card in the shop, put it in where we had to go, no dramas, all good, walked out, got in the car, back on the freeway, no internet connection. Had no idea where we were. We couldn't even get back to the shop. We were driving around for about 3.5 hours in America, completely lost. So I just screamed at my husband, just pull off. And we pulled into this dodgy little shop. I said, Fiona, have you got a map?
What did you say?
No, that's going to help.
This is. And ended up this bloke sitting and playing a pinball machine in this tiny little dodgy shop. I said, please, could I just have a look at your phone? And then had to write the directions down to get to our hotel.
Oh, Honey.
Oh, Honey.
Honey, so much in that story. And can I just give you credit? That was brilliantly told.
Well told.
You got through it.
I should take a few lessons on
you should.
Honey, tell story.
Honey, you'd be a great radio broadcaster. Well done.
Good stuff.
Honey made me think about the time when Alex and her sister, Tony, they flew to the Gold Coast to go do something for Runway Room. They were opening up a shop for the makeup down there. And anyway, they get on the plane, they get off and they jump in the car and they give the address. And the taxi driver said, do you know how far away that is? And they said, oh, it's only supposed to be, you know, around the corner. They flew to Brisbane.
No way.
And they didn't know.
101.9 The Fox.
Flicking through the headlines online this morning when I woke up and I saw this one and I laughed a little because I thought, oh, this is fun at someone else's expense. I'll read the headline as it was written. No money in the world could make me wear that. AFL team unveils its new Thor-inspired jersey design, only to be ruthlessly mocked by footy fans.
Oh. Yeah.
Because I was laughing, going, ha, 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 who's this idiot team? It's my team. That's a shame.
It's horrifically
on the Bulldogs.
What's happened here? Can I even go on to read? Look. This is going to be a big year for the doggies. I'm so pumped about us. Can I get a little bit excited?
Little bit.
We're fighters. Even when you think we're not going to do well, Fev, we will surprise you. Although this jersey is interesting. I've got another article in here. It says Western Bulldogs dropped the hammer with Thor-themed Guernsey. Carlton had light blue, Hawthorn tried gold, but this Thor-inspired mess from the Western Bulldogs might just be the worst AFL Guernsey ever.
Yeah, it's horrific. And they're trying to, because they're Hemsworth. Thor.
Marvel Stadium.
Marvel Stadium, they're playing their first game there. They're playing the first ever game, and he's a Bulldog supporter. Okay.
You don't think they've done it all for Hemsworth?
Yeah, 100%.
Is this all for Chris Hemsworth?
This will 100% be all about him because he's a Bulldog supporter. They're playing the first game at Marvel. They're the first team to play there. It's all to do with
Hemsworth. We're bigger than Hollywood Stars. We're the Western Bulldogs.
Don't worry.
It's embarrassing.
I wore a worse jumper than that.
No way.
Yeah, I wore the yellow Lance Armstrong inspired. It was for the cancer for his yellow wristbands. We played Fremantle in Fremantle with a bright yellow jumper. It was horrific.
When you played for Carlton.
With Carlton, yeah. Bright yellow we wore.
Someone lost their mind. It was there. Horrific. You're the Blues.
101.9 The Fox.
A really juicy story is broken in Hollywood overnight.
Amazing.
And Desperate Housewives actress Felicity Huffman is in custody as we speak.
Yeah.
She's been charged. Now, this is all about fraudulently bribing schools and universities over in the States.
Maximum 5-year jail term, is that
right? To have their children admitted into universities, into schools. So the FBI have absolutely cracked down and they've blown the lid off a $25 million fraud scheme that's including a lot of Hollywood A-listers, CEOs, just lots of rich people.
$500,000 she paid to get on the rowing team or something, didn't she?
No, that was another actress. I'll get to that in a second. Let's start with Felicity, though. She and her husband, and you might know him, William H. Macy. Academy Award winner.
Yeah.
And, he's brilliant. They made a charitable contribution of $15,000.
Is that all?
So that their daughter could receive false test results in a university entrance exam.
To get into the uni.
University entrance exam. anyway.
Thank you.
So
there's a parrot in the room.
That's essential.
Essentially.
I love it when you repeat everything I say.
Then it sounds like I'm smart too.
Can we lock up the parrot?
Okay, so what's happened? That I'm just surprised. Now she's been.
I'm surprised.
Stop it. That's so childish. We're talking about university admissions.
He's even
just bribery.
Just for people listening, he's even repeating my hand gestures.
It's very visual.
Anyway, so she's in jail. They've charged her, popped her in jail, and she's going to have to get out on bond.
Jail.
Laurie, the other one you were talking about, Laurie Loughlin, you might recall from Full House. What's his name?
Joey.
I was going to say Joey Fatone, but it wasn't Joey.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah,
the guy that was with Carrie Ann on the couch laughing.
Yeah, cool.
He was a bit drunk.
Pissed.
What is his name? Anyone? I can't remember.
Stamos.
John Stamos.
Uncle John.
Anyway, she and her husband, how's this? They allegedly paid $500,000 to have their two daughters accepted into a rowing team at a university.
They did pay $500,000.
No, allegedly. You have to say allegedly. Because they'll sue us.
They're in jail.
No, they're not.
And anyway, imagine that kid, right?
Yeah.
But she can't row. Like, these kids have no idea that their parents are paying the money. She makes, I think it was at UCLA or something, at a really
University of Southern California.
Southern California, and they're a really good rowing team because I Googled it. She makes a rowing team and goes, oh, God, I'm not a real good rower. What am I doing on this team? It's awful.
Can I go a step back for you, though?
Yeah, take a step back.
$500,000 to get into a rowing team. I'd take her kids down to the Yarra. It's not hard. It's a boat. You don't need to pay a $500,000.
It's unbelievable.
$500,000.
I
did a little bit of research last night, Boxy, because I was about this story, and I gave Pearl a call, Byron.
Fee's mum.
Here we go.
$250,000 she paid for Fee to be the president of the school.
School captain.
Well, the school captain.
Yep.
It's money well spent.
And then Scotty James doesn't pay anything and he's on the wall of honour.
Voted by peers and teachers.
Was it?
Let's have a look at the paper trail on that one.
What I do find interesting about this is that they have, these are actual bribes. This is the bribery. They've been arrested. These are Hollywood superstars. This is all going to unfold over the next few weeks, I imagine. But I don't think that we're not a bribing culture.
Nah.
I think there are certain countries, and I won't name them, but in Southeast Asia, it's a going thing.
Right.
Like, bribery is part of the deal.
In our
they
country,
expect you to bribe them.
In our country, aren't they wanting kids to go to uni? Like, you just get in. Like, they don't even have to do anything. Because no one wants to go to uni this day and age.
What are you talking about?
Do.
There's not many.
You've got to get a good mark.
They're all lazy.
If you want to be a doctor, you better do pretty well in your VCE.
What are you talking about? Anyway, 131060.
Did you ever bribe?
I've never bribed
anyone. Ever for anything?
No.
No.
Have you ever bribed anyone?
Yeah. I don't, not money wise. I did bribe my way through year 12.
How does that work?
I did subjects like biology. I don't even know what that means. I did geography. I'm hopeless at it.
But that's just doing subjects.
Yeah, and maths methods, because they were all Carlton supporters and I'd already been drafted. So I got drafted in year 11. So in year 12, I gave my teachers, I picked the subjects of Carlton supporters. Oh. I gave them jumpers, tickets. One of the my geography teacher's kid ran out in the ground, the MCG.
Oh, jeez.
I got A pluses.
Okay.
I mean, I'm tempted to get you to name those teachers, but... Mate. I don't think we should.
Mum thought I was a genius.
That is very successful bribing. I will accept, and I think we should ask the question, 131060, have you attempted, even just attempted to bribe somebody?
Okay.
Maybe this was in another country. Maybe it was here. There was an Australian Idol person who I Paulini. Think attempted. Oh, see, I wouldn't have said the name.
131060 is the number.
Look, allegedly attempted to bribe.
Change your name if you call us.
I think she did get
you can be anonymous.
She got done for that.
Right. We're not condoning bribery. We're just saying, let us know, share us your story, and we'll know not to do that.
Attempting to bribe people.
Okay.
Has it worked?
101.9. The Fox. The Fox.
Huge scandal over in the States at the moment. Lots of very wealthy people, including some Hollywood stars, have been targeted by the FBI, and we can now say that right now, Desperate Housewives star Felicity Huffman and her husband, Academy Award winner William H. Macy, they've been charged. Felicity's in custody. Ooh. They apparently bribed a university with money, obviously, $15,000, to false some test results to get their daughter into a university.
Jeez. I thought this was like a common practice in the States. I watch a lot of movies. They're called like boosters, aren't they? Borrowing?
Well, they give boosters. Them, they donate libraries and do those sorts of things. Mm. But the FBI have gone, enough's enough. See, you know, this is the bit where I'm guessing this, you know, criminal minds, they chase serial killers. They've gone, we'll just lay off that for a bit and let's just go for the people who are rotting the system.
Yeah,
got a lot on the FBI.
Something better to do than that.
Now, we've just asked the question, 131060, have you attempted to bribe somebody?
15 grand's not going to get you much.
Well, that's 21 Australian.
Hmm.
I mean, it's not bad.
Compared to that. But
no,
guys,
I was saying, to if you're going to, like, if I was having the test and you come to me and you're like, I want Trixie to pass, I'd go at least 50.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, but then they're probably starstruck. He's won an Academy Award.
Yeah, but that means he's got more cash. I'd say 100 then.
I put a bit more.
Okay, you just want the cash. Now we've got Steph in Carrum Downs. Hey, Steph.
Hi, guys.
Steph, have you, and not that we're condoning this in any way, shape or form, but have you attempted to bribe someone?
I have. I saw this guy selling a purebred French bulldog online for a set amount, which I was happy to pay, and I did, but I also bought him a whole bunch of presents as well, so he would think I was a nice person and give me his dog.
Oh, so hang on. No,
I paid him the set price. I did everything, you know, that was meant to be done, but okay. I also went and bought him a whole bunch of presents.
Do you know what? You
That's
know,
just
Steph,
been really nice.
If the phone was it, you're just a really generous person. You've called the right show, because that's amazing. Like, that, you're just... What a wonderful person. Yeah. You've just given gifts as well as the money.
I mean, just really wanted his dog.
No, fair enough.
Yeah, I love that you did that.
Well done, Steph.
A beautiful story.
Lovely.
What a beautiful person. I mean, so she's actually gone above and beyond and spent more money.
More money.
That, to get the dog.
Yeah. Have you done more than you needed to get something?
Ooh. Could be an interesting
1360. We have asked the question. And I'm now questioning our judgment, considering we're about to have the Prime Minister in the studio. And we're asking our wonderful listeners in Melbourne, have you attempted to bribe someone?
Not for a minute are we saying it's a good idea.
No, but I just realised...
Politicians would do that, wouldn't they?
Well, I wouldn't have said that with him coming in either.
Wow.
And I'm just worried that people might not call, thinking that the Prime Minister is now paying attention.
He is listening in the car on the way.
John, maybe Joyce would have, I reckon.
John in Melton. Wow. John, hey, John.
Hey. I think that previous call was the opposite of a bribe, to be honest.
No. Yeah. There's arguing to say that.
Oh, Johnny.
John, you should get into radio programming.
Do you want to answer our phones?
So I literally... every single high-end or decent hotel overseas I go into, I bribe generally the clerk a little bit, ask for the manager, and bribe him as well, usually around $10 to $20.
What do you want for the bribe?
I want everything. No, I generally want a lot, like a nicer suite so I can enjoy myself and feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Okay.
John, can I ask this question? Because I genuinely am curious. I've never attempted that, but I know in the States there's a tipping culture. Have you ever, like, you know, passed over 20 going, hey, have you got a better room? And someone's been offended? Because I'd worry someone might get offended.
No, that's a funny thing. I've lived overseas for many years. And in America, I do it every single time. In Australia, I think when I was back and forth visiting, I did it once and the guy looked at me like I fell off another planet.
Yeah, right. We're not bribers, are we? Well, I'd be offended.
Is that not tipping?
No, if somebody tipping. Said, here's 50, just... can I have a better room? I'd go, what do you think I am? I'm not, you know, you can't buy me. You can't buy me. I'm moral and I'm ethical.
But usually someone that is working is getting paid like crappy coin. If you're working
still got integrity.
But no one's saying you can't.
Saying you can't what?
So just say you go stay at Crown. I'm just using Crown for
any old place.
Any place, Quest or wherever.
Formula One.
Formula One? Oh, yeah, there is a Formula One. And you work there and no one, the good suite is not occupied that night. Yep. And someone goes, oh, here's 100, can I get a better room? Well, just put them in.
I would have given it to them anyway. If it's empty, they can have it.
You're a good person.
She knows the Prime Minister's listening.
101.9 The Fox. Hey, guys, Melbourne, can we talk about Westgate Park, the Salt Lake? Mm. Now, this is as you're passing on the Westgate Bridge, you may be familiar with this lake. It's now become a tourist destination. In actual fact, usually it just sits there where no one really cares. But it's turned pink. Now, I've seen photos of this on my social media, and I just thought it was a novelty. I thought somebody's turned a lake pink for maybe, I don't know, the colour run.
Right.
Like
is there unicorns I thought it was advertising. In there or?
No, well, I like what you're doing there.
Like fairy.
But no. You know what? I don't think this is getting the traction or the news. I don't know. Whoa. That Mickey mentioned. I need to read it, though.
That's the first time I've seen it. Wasn't there one on Friday that was...
Yeah, here's the picture for
everyone. Bright green? No, it was a...
Not expect to see a green lake.
No, but it was like a fluoro.
Really?
Yeah, it was near the Yarra.
Gee, I missed the fluoro green lake. But this pink lake, it's getting a lot of traction, a lot of visitors. People are uploading photos because it's unbelievable.
It looks like a love heart.
It's bright pink, and it's apparently a natural phenomenon. The main reason for this is is salt and lots of it. So the buildup of salt.
I wonder if it's heart salt.
I wonder if it's
56% less
pink
sodium.
Himalayan salt.
Oh, high fives to everyone.
Who said we need a comedian? Well, Fifi Box.
Fifi, Fev and Byron on Instagram.
Well done. Look at it.
Fernando's, the home of Peri Peri Chicken.